You know, just thinking as we were asked to administer, how we began such a prayer, what was done, and in whose name. And it meant that in that portion that we trust in that name and that power for the beginning of such a message. What's in a name? In the name of Jesus Christ, we know one another. And on our sister, I'm thankful for that very power in her life, that she's allowed to be here and be a witness and fellowship with us. We're very, very thankful. But what's in a name? And no matter which way I go with this sermon, no matter how many scriptures that I may recite, whatever I may say, cannot do justice to the name of Jesus Christ and what it means. And where it goes among the children of men and what it will mean to all that stand before Him at the very last day. There's nothing that I can do to scratch the surface. But we're going to relate some things, and I ask an interest in your prayers. And there's a couple different things. You know, there's some thoughts that have been on my mind and on my heart. And when I pray about a message to come, that none other did come, and this needed to be. And so I ask an interest in your prayers. Just like these sheep are following a shepherd, in this depiction, they say it is Christ. And who do we follow? Who do a lot of people follow? By what name and whose name? Out there in the world. We talk about those that were doing good things this morning out there in the world but don't know Christ. But who are they following? And what sort of foundation is in their life? And so what kind of power is in the name of Jesus Christ? And so, and why is it recognized? So many questions about that very simple name. And so I've been going over the membership records, if you will. Many people know that. For the sector of the U.S., Michigan especially right now, and there's a name recorded, and it means something. I'm trying to find them, and I've been learning about people, situations, by looking into these things, and trying to find out where people are at. And I've tracked people from that were in Michigan to different parts of the U.S., some overseas. I know at least one. And what does that mean? I know there's persons, I may not be able to find them. There's those I can't find. Born a long time ago, way before my day. But God knows who they are. And what their beliefs were. What their names are. And we're going to take a look at that as well. So very thankful. We find in the book of John, in the first chapter, verses 1 through 4. I wanted to begin. And I have this, if you'd like to turn and read in your scriptures, that is a wonderful thing. I do have a lot written out. There's, I know, one scripture that's we're going to be turning to, but not yet. And so, but in the beginning was the Word. All right. And the Word was with God. It starts to start out this way, and looking at the flavor of this verse tells us it's beginning to be personage. Okay, not just a written out verse. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on to verse 2, the same was in with God. All things were made by Him, and while Him was not anything made that was made, and in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Of course, that's Jesus Christ. So in the beginning we have God. And we look in Genesis and it said, then it goes on talking about creation. Let us make man our image, you know, more than one. And speaking of Jesus Christ, he declares that he is the very incarnate word of the Father and of authority given to the Son in all things. But he is a manifestation of the Word. Another word is that he is also called the Logos, or the Word. In the very beginning, in all things. And so, I just wanted to bring that out first of all. How important the power of a name and what it means, even from the very beginning, before creation. The same was in the beginning. In Philippians, in chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, speaking of Jesus Christ, of course, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All things were put under him in responsibility and authority. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Through the Son, the only begotten Son, was creation done. All things were created for him and by him. There's nothing created that all things. That at the name of through Jesus Christ, power of the Father. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there lies also a question and a statement as well. That every tongue should confess that Jesus is Christ. Every tongue should confess Jesus Christ. But not every tongue will in this world. Yet, you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that at Judgment Day, every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ. And some to eternal life, some to eternal darkness. But they will confess and will know. They will know who they are, who they were. And once again, that some will, they will hear, and they will hear and know of their name. It's just like the hymn. There's a hymn out there, when the roll is called up yonder, I believe it is. We don't have it on our hymn book, but it's a neat one. We should look it up. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Why? Because we're living in the name of Jesus, where our name is called. Once again, there are those that will hear their name on that day, and it'll be to eternal life. Enter in, thou good and faithful servant, or to depart, I didn't know you. And so we see a very important thing that we, as we hear our name, that we have named the name of Jesus Christ in our life. And it is written upon our heart and in our ways and declared in our witness as we walk day by day. The Father, Father of Jesus, our Father in heaven. I like to make those three statements. Recognizes the name of Jesus the Christ because it is the name of his only begotten Son. You know, I have a personal belief of mine. Jesus, some could say that his name in translation could have been Yeshua. An earthly name. Just as was given to King Benjamin, which was given to others of the prophets, that his name would be Jesus. But in my mind, my heart, that his title and his authority is the Christ. wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting God, everlasting. Jesus being his earthly name, but Christ, his title. It's just like when the, I believe the wise men were talking to Herod about the Christ child, where he would be born. And I think a very, very important thing. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. He also recognizes it because he alone is invested with the authority of the Father in all things. To take care of all things. There is a powerful, wonderful, and deep truth and doctrine about what the Book of Mormon talks about, an eternal round. That all things proceeded forth from the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Concerning creation, concerning the formulation of his proclamation to mankind of who he is and what he expects of people and of life and of opportunity and the billions of people to inhabit the earth, to live, to die, and so on. And all those things concerning his death, his resurrection, concerning the establishment of his church, the restoration of his church, according to the end times, and all things that we see and even speculate over in prophecy are to come forth and will be fulfilled until the end, when the resurrection, the final resurrection even occurs, and judgment is taken care of. And this talks about a new heavens and a new earth and so on. And there's a scripture says that he shall, when he's put down all rule and authority, turn all things over to the feet of the Father, that all may be in all. That when it is completed, and when it is all said and done, the Book of Mormon has such a wondrous passage called an eternal round. That circle of events. When mankind and all things in judgment and authority have been put down. That we return to the feet of the Father, where it began with the creation through Jesus Christ. The Father recognizes the name of Jesus the Christ because he paid the price with his own life for the power of redemption for mankind that he also created through Jesus Christ. He recognizes that name. It is so that we see a very significant event at the death and the death of Jesus Christ when the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And that was a separation between God and man. There needed to be that intercessor. In the old law, it was the high priest that went in with the blood of animals, if you will, in order to atone. And then it was wiped upon the horns of the altar, if you will, in order to appease for the sins. But that was only symbolic and could not take and meet the demands of eternal justice. But it needed to be his only begotten Son. And because it was his only begotten Son, the Father recognizes the name of Jesus the Christ. That is why all things that we do, all things that we accomplish, as I will state coming up, in this church and in all things are in the name of Jesus Christ. The Father recognizes that name. In 2 Nephi 11 and 39, yea, behold, I say unto you that these things are true, and as the Lord God liveth, there is none other name given under heaven, save it be this Jesus Christ, of which I have spoken, whereby man can be saved. It is such a power in the name and in his loving gospel and his spirit that is the driving force between what we do, the decisions that we make, how our life is planned and purposed, how we even pledge our families. We set them forth and we ask God's protection on them, don't we? We believe that strongly in that power. We pray for our loved ones and our children and those that don't know Jesus Christ. It says in the Book of Mormon that they even had that for the soul prayer for the souls of those that knew not God. We pray for those that are traveling throughout the corners of the earth in the name of Christ for the hearts and the minds of the people that they're coming to meet. And those they haven't met yet. And I'm praying about those doors that haven't been opened up yet that I fully believe in this world will come to pass. There are areas we haven't went into yet. Many millions of people that haven't been touched and haven't heard the fullness of the gospel. And there will be the need for every available man and woman and child in the glorious work for the message of the salvation that was prepared through the name of Jesus Christ. Acts, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not maybe, but where we must be saved. It is a must-have situation where we must be saved. That's the thing about a lot of people out there that have shunned the name of Jesus Christ. They don't understand what is on the other hand. What is all to be lost? They don't understand and don't know. Why did Jesus preach so much about hell? He doesn't want anybody to go there. He doesn't want anybody to go there. He doesn't create people to be damned. He doesn't create people to be damned. He sets them on a course of predestination. He destines them toward eternal life. That new soul. It's what happens along the way between the first breath and the last that determines the course and the chain of events thereafter. That is predestination. I take them apart a little bit. In 2 Nephi 6 and 82 also, and there is none other way, save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. And this course is Jesus Christ sits at the gate. Not St. Peter, not like it's been popularized. And there's none other way but by him. And the gate also, as it talks about, and right around page 163 in your Book of Mormon, talks about the doctrine of Christ. It's plainly, very concisely, very powerfully talks about the doctrine of Christ. It talks about the gate by which we should enter is repentance, by faith. And then talks about baptism, talks about the receiving of the Holy Ghost. And with full purpose of heart, acting of hypocrisy. We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a little bit. Book of Mormon in the Book of Mormon, chapter 4, verse 87. And this is also in Mark 16, 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I believe they're talking to disciples. And there are those that believe that the laying on of hands is for everybody. And that is not true. That's not what was laid out in the scriptures. But yet, that being aside, taking up the serpents, drinking any deadly thing, laying on the head of the sick, they recover. Okay. And it, for one thing, there are those that practice today intentionally drinking deadly things, intentionally picking up serpents, intentionally doing this or that. And if my faith is strong enough, you know, I'm going to be saved from that I just did to myself. There are some goofy things that people have done out there in the name of religion and dragged the name of Jesus Christ into it. It's called tempting the Lord. I think it was Brother Harris that said it one time in one of his sermons. And he said, you know, there's a thing called tempting the Lord. You can stand in front of a train and say, if the Lord will, you know, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to stop that train. I'm going to stand right here. And you know, he said, you know, you just might meet your maker. The Lord just might let that happen. It's a foolish thing to tempt the Lord. This is if they should drink any deadly thing, if they they shall take up serpents or so on. Remember when Paul was with the barbarians and there was a fire and out leaped a serpent, there was a serpent that lit upon him and he had shook it off and they thought it was going to kill him. Nothing happened to him. That's the experience. That's what he's talking about. If it happens. But don't tempt the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:9. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Okay. This approval. This acknowledgement. The Lord's seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows you. He knows your walk in life. He knows your decision. He knows what you've purposed in the name of Jesus Christ in your life. He knows. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, even though he says he knows those that are his, then he gives this charge. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There's an example of that we find in the book of Matthew, the parable of the 10 virgins. Those were all denoting purity. Virgin. But 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 were able to go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. 5 were not. Meaning that it's taking more effort than what people... 5 didn't put oil on the lamps and 5 did. Tells us that it's more than just saying the name Jesus Christ. It's got to be written upon your mind and your heart, meaning you're deciding by it. There are things that I do and don't do because I decide in the name of Jesus Christ, because He's written in my life. I pledged my family, my home, I don't want to say fortune, but pittance. But it's His. Talking to one of my children yesterday that you know, I have land. My name's on a deed somewhere, but guess what? I'm just a renter. And when I'm gone, whose is it going to be? All belongs to God. I'm just a renter here. And I'm even using the breath that He gave me. But just using the name of Jesus. We have an experience in the book of Acts, in the 19th chapter, in verses 13 through 17. Let's read this one. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits. In the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priests, and chief of the priests. Okay? What did Jesus say about priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees? They were like whited sepulchers. But anyway, regardless, they thought they would do what they were doing. Okay? And which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. It was known that there was power and authority given to those that the Lord chose to take care of this. And that his spirit and his name was also what invested in his servants. It wasn't a matter that I also cautioned those in the church. Be careful if you think there is an evil spirit. Don't be afraid of the devil. He's a defeated foe. But yet, don't call him on. And be careful. This is what your brothers and sisters are for. This is what your ministry is for as well. Call your brothers and sisters. If he thinks that you to help you as prayer warriors. There is a power that the evil one has been given. Don't be afraid of him. We fear the Lord. We don't fear him, but yet, you must be careful. And so, that's what your brothers and sisters are for, to be with you, to stand with you, to pray with you. They were not the servants of Christ and didn't have authority over these evil spirits. There was a time when let me tell you how serious a business it is when the disciples came to Jesus over such a matter. And they said, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. More effort. You must be careful. Call your brothers and sisters. Don't think you're going to stand there and smart off to the devil and wave your hand at him, give him some stick your tongue out, or anything of the matter. We see what happened to these fellows. They got jumped on and they got beat. And regardless of that, I'm not trying to make you afraid. We have your brothers and sisters. Wise man once said, I would rather stand before the cannons of the wicked than the prayers of the righteous. And that is true. When Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. I call upon the power of the Lord through his Son, Jesus Christ. In Matthew 7, 22-23, because many, he said, Jesus made this affirmation as well. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. What happened to the sons of Sceva? He said, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And you know, it wasn't said there specifically, but there were those that were trying to do such things, and they were commanding money. There was a little girl that was following Paul, and she was commanding money for doing works for these people that were kind of hiring this little girl. She was possessed. She followed Paul along for quite a while until he turned around and he said, thou child of Satan, get out of her. And then that's what kind of started some of those the people in the area against Paul, because he took away, the Lord took away their ability to make money with that little girl. You see, there are those that work iniquity. And usually when someone calls out our name, we turn and we listen. Most times. Right? Not always. Sometimes we turn and we listen. Someone calls our name. I don't always hear. Sometimes it's selective hearing. As I get older, I say it's selective hearing, but I probably can't hear. To be honest with you, I'm going for a hearing test this coming week, and we'll see how that turns out. Not that bad yet, but anyway. In Alma, the third chapter, verses 62-65, I didn't have a page number on here, but regardless, I have the scripture. Behold, I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call you. Yea, and in his own name he doth call you, which is the name of Christ. And if ye will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which ye are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. And now, if ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd, what fold are ye? Behold, I say unto you, the devil is your shepherd, and ye are of his fold. Who can deny this? If we're not listening to Him, we're talking about this morning, about those decisions, about those gray areas, about mists of darkness, about what is the author of good, who is the author of evil, and so on and so forth. And it is that spirit of Christ, of discernment, that His true followers have and decide by. And we don't turn that off. We don't want to be led and led away and into mists of darkness, because once again, as I mentioned this morning, that there is the same evil, the same root sins, they seem to be coming around repackaged, a little more glitzy, glamorous, and this and that. For people to have to cause them to try to reason it away. And we have relative morality today. And I'm ashamed that there's many that are professing, they say they're professing Christ today, and there are many horrible things and abominations that are coming to pass in this country alone, even this country. Laws even passed, things that they call rights. I'm ashamed to be even around it. Not that we agree with it. And there's a scripture that we're going to look at here just shortly about that very situation. But we must listen when Christ calls us. And with His Spirit, we need to be listening for that. It's called that still small voice. To listen to that still small voice. We need to take the effort and the time to listen. I like periods of quietness. This comes to mind that, you know, there are those that will tell me that I could drive all the way across the country and not have anything on in the car, the radio, and this and that. Once in a while, I listen to talk radio here and there during the day. And that's irritating, too. I seem to be entertained with my own thoughts about things that need to come, that I need to do, and this and that. And sometimes it's so maybe communing with the Lord or listening for His voice. And regardless, people today seem to have that need that, and that's not everybody, and this and that. And music is okay. You know, we got to, of course, watch what music we listen to. Where people think that they need to have music on all the time, even when they're studying. I don't get that. How can they think? How can that information be processed when they have to have the radio on or whatever all the time? This background music. I don't know. It's just me. But I don't understand that, I guess. But now here we find where he's talking to the church. Very serious business. You know, because we see how living by faith unto endurance, and those that were wise and those that were foolish. And we have an example in Alma 3, where I believe it was King Benjamin talking to the church, I believe it is. Now behold, I ask you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? And this is where the name of Christ is purposed in you, and His Spirit is vested in you, and he's putting His seal upon you. Have you spiritually been born of God? Have you truly repented? Or have we put off things for a while and thinking to take them back into our lives later on? Anyway. Have you received His image in your countenances? Have you experienced this mighty change in your heart? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of Him who hath created you? Faith in the redemption of Him that created you. The redeeming power and qualities of Jesus Christ. The redeeming qualities of the Father hearing the Son say, this person is mine. My name is upon them, and they have lived through me. Father, let them come in. He's our advocate and our intercessor. It's true, Jesus Christ. The redemption of Him. To redeem. 3 Nephi 9:79, also Isaiah 52:11. And then shall a cry go forth, depart ye, and go ye out from thence, and touch not that which is unclean. Go ye out the midst of her, be ye clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord. The old temple, it was called the instruments of worship. That's what they did to all that was contained within the old temple, the sanctuary, to make sacrifice for worship's sake. The vessels of the Lord are you. You are that precious temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Going out of the midst of her, going out of the midst of a spiritual Babylon that is out in the world. Touch not that which is unclean, those things which are an abomination to the Lord. We need to know what they are. We need to, if we don't know, we need to step, if we don't think that it is wrong, but given that Spirit of Christ we know, and He has invested His Holy Spirit in you, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you should be spiritually discerning, you know, and deciding. And if you don't know, step away. Step away and go to the Lord over it. Go to His Word over it. Don't disengage blindly. Because once again, there are things out there that, you know, it's just like you may walk through the wood and there may be a bear trap underneath leaves. You know, and you don't know until it's too late. You have had testimonies, you all had testimonies where the Lord, you didn't know at the time, but you went a different way. You decided differently. You did this or did that, and then you realize later, man, if I had done what I originally was going to do, I would have suffered dearly, or something would have happened, or I could have been killed, or whatever. You've all got those testimonies with the Spirit of the Lord. Sometimes it wasn't overpowering, or it wasn't an angel that stood there and said, don't do this or that, but you decided to not do it, and it was interposition of the workings of the Lord that caused you not to decide differently. I believe it's because it's spiritually. Because the Lord protects you. And I know He's protected me. I believe that we are allowed to sometimes look back over our life and we see those footprints in the sand, if you will. We're allowed to. See where His identifying fingerprints have been upon your life. To bring you to this day where we sit in the body of the saints to worship in the name of Jesus Christ. But we need to come out and not touch those unclean things. The children of Israel were told to keep separate away from these other nations because, and they were told many times that they needed to be also cleansed, the line cleansed through war because of the horrible things. People say, well, how could they do that? Well, in these other nations, they were doing abominable things even to their little ones that I don't even want to get into. And they were an abomination before the Lord. We see those that were taken into Babylon because of their worship were thrown into a fiery furnace. That's only some of it. If they didn't bow down and worship this idol, they were thrown into a furnace. You see. Alma 3:98. And so now I say unto you, all you that are desirous to follow the voice of the good shepherd, come ye up from the wicked, and be ye separate, and touch not their unclean things. It's just as important today as it was then. Technology has just become more increased. People talk about new things all the time. And when we think that we know the latest, it's already gone beyond us. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I believe it's the words of Daniel. Touch not their unclean things. We need to learn what they are. We need to be careful for what they are. Why did the Lord prepare us with armor, as He talks about in Ephesians, in the 6th chapter? To protect the precious saint below, underneath the armor. Mosiah 3:11 through 21. For how knoweth a man the master which he hath not served, and which is stranger unto him? He is far from the thoughts and intents of his heart. How knoweth a man the master he hath not served? We're talking about that judgment day, talking about our name shall be read. How can you know the person, that master that you didn't serve? You'll know and you'll be acquainted with him. You will know. And you'll know, as it talks about Alma 19th chapter, that spirit of restoration, in your perfect state of health, if you will, or state of person, state of understanding, most importantly, who you were. And you are going to understand where you will reside for eternity. How knoweth the master that he has not served? 2 Nephi 12:18. Have they not read the scriptures which saith, you must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this name shall ye be called at the last day. And whoso taketh upon him my name and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. When we begin upon the knowledge of Christ, till we make a covenant through Jesus Christ by entering in, by the way, repentance then is just as important as it is all the way through until we stand before Him. The things that we've went away from and how we have turned to Him. Repentance had turned away from the ways of the world. It had turned to Christ and the Father and all that He is, and turn our back away from what we were. A new creature is what we will be. Jesus also said in the book of Luke, I believe it is, he says, no man having put his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. If we look back, we've also taken our hand off the plow. And I remember this day, my brother Jay, and I asked if someone ever put their hands to a plow, and he says, I have. I said, what happened when you took your hands off it? He says, you're going to get drug all over that field by those animals. And once again, you don't know, Satan's more than willing to drag you all over this, the wasteland that he's created. He loves to destroy lives, and he's taken down as many as he can. Jesus has invested his name and his spirit in us because we are his. And so we need to walk according to that. It says, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, the scripture tells us. In John 14 and 23, Jesus answered and said to them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode. Our abode is a place of dwelling, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Once again, Jesus has invested his name and his spirit. And he says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode, or dwelling place, our home. This is also a very powerful way of knowing, to decide if they are with us, walking with us, closer than the shadow of our turning, within our heart and our mind, to decide what is unclean, what's right, what's wrong. 1 Corinthians 5:20. Same. That as we step up in the name of Christ, we are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ, representing. People are looking for the face and the voice of Christ in us when we declare Jesus Christ as our Savior, who we serve. It can't be hid for long by your decisions, by our actions, by our words. Things that we will say. I was asked before when I was working about a certain person in the shop. It had said that they were a minister. Somebody come up to me and they said, why is this person saying this and saying that? I said, I can't answer for them. I can only answer for myself. I said, I don't know. You see, people don't. People see. No matter what. They're looking for the voice of Christ. And they're looking for his face as well in our ways. Now, our examples, we are ambassadors representing how important it is to proclaim the name of Christ. In the church of Christ, nothing is done except it be in the name of Christ because it is his church. There's nothing that is done here. We step in those doors except it be in the name of Christ. The name of the church. I'm just going to recite the scripture. It's just the scripture. If you want to look to the name of his church, he has declared the name of his church. It could only be in his name and none other. The church of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. 3 Nephi 12:20. Baptism. We were reading that very closely this morning in their Sunday school, Moroni 6:3-5. How the importance of baptism. As a matter of fact, in Moroni, we're looking at those are the very words of Christ that were placed in there by Moroni. The Holy Ghost, also in Moroni 2. He talked about those that would give the Holy Ghost through the laying on of hands. That authority given through Jesus Christ to his servants. He said, and in my name shall ye give it. That's what exactly what he said. He said, also, for thus do mine apostles. Remember, they didn't have the same name in calling, as we were talking about. But he said, for thus do mine apostles. That same authority, through the name of Jesus Christ, through his Spirit. Not just naming the name, but in power, in Spirit, in love, responsibility. The ordaining of called ministry, Moroni 3. And also John 15:16 is very powerful. He told his disciples, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruits. I've chosen you. We see by example over in Acts that he didn't choose those other people that took upon them that authority to call out these evil spirits. Right? There was a man that also wanted to be able to buy that gift of the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost. And they said, wait a minute, your heart is not right before the Lord, and your money perishes with you. So we know that there is something to that responsibility that's given, a holy calling. The sacrament, as we look at Moroni chapter 4 and 5, as we read that those precious prayers that the Lord recited himself. And both of them, in the name of Jesus Christ. Gifts and healings, Moroni 10, which also tells us to ask the Father if his words are true. If we read the Book of Mormon, or read these words, ask the Father in the name of Christ if these things are not true. He tells you, even to try me out. Ask if these are not true. Ask God himself in the name of Christ if they are not true. And it will be revealed to you by the power of his Holy Spirit, it says. Where our name is extremely important, where our name is extremely important. Alma 3:100. For the names of the righteous shall be written in the book of life, and unto them will I grant an inheritance at my right hand. The names written in the book of life. The Lamb's book of life. Those that he has invested his name, now they proclaimed his name, he has sealed them with his name, but his Spirit, he has invested his Spirit in us. And their names are written in the Lamb's book. They've entered in by the way. And they've lived for him by faith unto endurance, as we also read in his scriptures. We live by faith unto endurance. Revelations 21:27. and there shall in no wise enter anything into it that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's talking about that holy city. In the presence of God, you won't enter in anything that defileth or maketh a lie. And the Book of Mormon used to be that liars were punished. If we had that same prerequisite today in our laws, my oh my, the population would be diminished by a lot, wouldn't it? How important the truth is. Because you know why it's very important for the Lord that truth is important? Because Satan is the author of lies. He's the father of them. The author of them. Untruth. And it opposes God. That's why the Lord abhors lying, because it's not a truth. It's not the way it is. It's a lie. Because that's after the author of the evil one. Because he is the author of lying and evil and so on and so forth. Revelations 3 and 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That's where we read before about living by faith unto endurance. You see, living by faith unto faith is an action word. There is the evidence of our faith. His vested name, his spirit, and his gospel in our lives to decide. That helps us live by faith unto endurance, enduring to the very time when we stand before him, from the first breath to the last. We will not, our name will not be blotted out of the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. So the question is, Moroni 6:5, their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God. This, here we find we talk about entering in, talk about the gospel, talk about faith, repentance, baptism, laying of hands, resurrection, eternal judgment, with all that in place and knowledge. But entering in, by the way, and it says their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and the finisher of their faith. Once again, the name of Christ. He began that faith and the finisher of their faith. When we stand before him, and it's no longer any doubt whatsoever, standing before him, he's the finisher of that faith. It will be knowledge. And through the power of the resurrection, when we are raised incorruptible, I believe it talks about in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. Talks about that resurrection. It will be finished. But their names were taken. And so the question is, who has our name? Who has our name? Their names were taken and written. And there is this book that the Lord holds, that our name is written when we keep the word of his commandments, that our name is entered in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what's important. Not my words, but his. 1 Timothy 6:7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. But we have read where there will be something placed upon us, and that is his name, invested with his spirit, and the good works that we have done through the name of Jesus Christ. But nothing else. Nothing else. But in this world as we live and when we leave, there is one name that will matter. In this world as we live and when we leave, there's one name that will matter. We need to know and live by, and that is Jesus Christ, the Lord. And the Lord, so we made the right to eternal life. SOS. I guess that's probably a good signal. That's a rescue signal, right? Well, the Lord has sent the rescue signal. I didn't plan it that way. But the Lord has sent his rescue signal as through Jesus Christ. And we need to hail that rescue signal. So I thank you for your love, for your prayers, for being with us today in fellowship. We've met in the name of Jesus Christ.